It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick, and East Nashville. Chase McCabe will be with Floyd Reese today on the afternoon show. So it'll be Chase and the GM. That's coming up in an hour from now. You know, on Thursdays at 1 o'clock, we always enjoy our chats with our next guest, Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. He now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
Good, thanks. I'm just looking at something on Instagram, and it looks like Jeff Bezos has bought the naming rights to Seattle's NHL arena, and it will be called Climate Pledge Arena.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Climate Pledge Arena.
Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue very well.
No, it's definitely different.
Huh. Very interesting. Are things heating up in your city when it comes to sports? What's your vibe right now?
You know, I got to tell you, it's kind of weird right now here, guys. Like, on the weekend, and I think we talked about it last week, it looked like Vancouver and Vegas were going to be the hubs for the NHL if play resumes.
Yep.
And then we reported this week there's been a snag with Vancouver. And now it doesn't look like the NHL is going there. And we're trying to figure out where the other hub's going to be. But I'm sure it's probably similar to you guys in the sense that we're looking at all of these positive tests. And, you know, you're wondering, like, and you're looking at where a lot of these cities are going in terms of the number of positive cases, and Texas is shutting down, and it's certainly a wow moment. And if they go back on July 10th, like, you know, you're trying to project, and you're talking about playing on July 30th, and maybe that gets delayed by a little bit, but if it does get delayed, it's not going to be much. I mean, it's going to be... I mean, it's interesting. Like, what was true yesterday isn't necessarily true today. And like, I got to tell you, like, it's weird times. It's really weird times, and it's hard not to look at all the positive tests right now and all the different sports and say, you know, hey, like, this is a challenge. This is a real challenge.
What are they saying? We'll come back to hockey. What are they saying now that baseball's fine? Well, they didn't agree on anything. They just were told they're going to play a 60-game season. What are they saying about the Blue Jays and how they're going to handle, you know, are they going to play in Toronto? How is there any word right now on that front?
I don't expect that our government is going to make too many crazy accommodations.
Oh, okay.
Basically in hockey, there's still, even if you come across the border, what they're talking about is you still have to do a quarantine. Now they're going to add the rink to it, so you can do your quarantine between wherever you're living and the rink. I can tell you this, when the news got out yesterday that Major League Baseball had asked for that exemption, or the Jays had asked for that exemption for teams to play here, it wasn't received very highly.
Huh.
Like, one of the reasons that Vancouver is talking about is going to be out is that they have the NHL and all these other leagues have said one positive test won't derail the season. Like, we're not shutting down on one positive test. I don't think the province of British Columbia agrees with that. I think their threshold is very low. And the other thing, too, is I'm not sure if all the staff, like the hotel staff and the other staff, are going to be part of the hubs. And I think in BC, they're looking at it like, well, what happens if a member of the hub, a member of the staff leaves the hub and they take COVID out into the community? You know, BC's done a really good job of controlling it. So I don't think they like that. And so I think a lot of people, like we love our sports. We want to see sports. But I think there's a limit to how much, you know, we're saying, okay, does that mean there's going to be a lot of connectivity with the general public? Because I don't think people here want that.
Where are you on? Are you guys in phases? Where are you, like businesses? We know, how is that working? Restaurants, everything working in Canada right now. How much quarantine is still going on? How is it working right now? Let's just start with where you are in Toronto.
Well, in Toronto, we were late to, like, a lot of the province went to phase two before we did. We were one of the last to get to. I mean, we're the biggest metropolis in the country. What's called the Golden Horseshoe, which is kind of the area around Toronto. Depending on what figures you look at, there's, you know, 10 million people there in a country of 30 million. So it's the biggest population hub. Our area was the last to get to phase two, and I live right in Toronto, in the north end of the city. And our, like, barber shops just reopened 2 days ago. Yesterday.
Okay.
And now patios and stuff have opened today. Like, you could do takeout, and there were some people who were kind of violating it a bit, but in terms of legally being able to open for patios and restaurants and barber shops and stuff, that was yesterday.
Okay, so economics, and I know we're a sports show, but you just said it. You're a massive city. If things are just reopening or just opening up, how greatly has that affected, you know, people who have businesses in Toronto?
Oh, there's it's, I'm sure it's no different than Nashville in the sense that nobody's getting out of this unscathed, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's being affected, whether you're an employer or you're an employee, big business, small business, nobody's getting out of this unscathed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really feel badly for especially small business owners, people who invested in a small business owner recently, closer to the start of the pandemic, they've been crushed. And it's really unfortunate. And you know, the other thing too is that we've got, you know, you guys have had in the States some payments to people like that. We've had it too. And then when this is over, we're going to have to pay for all this, right? So
right.
I think we're all still waiting to see what the future is going to be.
Sure. So just so I got this straight, so did you say, Elliot, that they're willing to let, if, let's say, for the sake of this discussion, that it's Toronto. The other hub is in Canada, but we'll just say it's Toronto. They're willing to let the, it's not come up 14 days in advance. They're willing to let the clock start. Then they could, in other words, there doesn't have to be extra time for quarantine?
No, I think what they're talking about here is if you come up and you have to do a 14-day quarantine, it could be at the
bubble,
hotel and the rink.
Okay, the bubble, so to speak.
Or I know there were some talks about maybe a shorter-term quarantine with a lot of testing, but I don't know if that's been approved.
So that's
but
the hang-up.
The way it stands right now is if you come into Canada by air, you've got to do a 14-day quarantine, and for the general public, it's been at the home, and now what they're talking about is, can you do it at the rink and the home?
Okay. So that's the rub with baseball. That's why you said it's more of like an exemption, because obviously they're not coming there for 2 weeks, so they're kind of hosed on Toronto having the Blue Jays having home games, because nobody's going to be able to come in and apply with those rules, correct? I mean, that's the difference on the baseball side. Interesting. Huh. So do you think today it's going to be your city? Or do you think that, is Edmonton out, in your opinion?
No, like I think guys, like I think the NHL was planning on announcing its hub cities today. And then, so on Tuesday, all of a sudden there's this issue they weren't expecting with Vancouver. And I think it's kind of thrown the whole thing into a bit of chaos. So I still think they'd like it to be Toronto or Edmonton, but I just don't think they know. Like, basically, this was about done, and it fell apart. It's like you're in a 100-meter hurdle, and you trip over the last hurdle with the lead, right? So then it becomes a scramble. So from what I've heard about Vancouver is it's most likely out, but that's not 100%, but it's most likely out. And now they're trying to see if Toronto or Edmonton is a better option. I would say Toronto's the first choice and Edmonton's the second. But again, you may not get the choice you want.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So Elliot, with that in mind, just out of curiosity, would the West be in Toronto, in the East be in Vegas, or are they okay with the quote unquote host team being in their home city?
I have a feeling that I think it's going to be East in the East and West in the West. But again, I could always be proven wrong about that. I know that one of the things they were worried about was players being at home, worried that they would try to visit their families outside the bubble. And that was one of the concerns they had. But someone told me this week they thought if it ends up being an East and a West again instead of two West, the East teams might end up in the East. But again, I'm so careful about this stuff because it almost seems to change on a daily basis.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, I've gone through stretches where, you know, a couple of months ago, I was like, how are they ever going to be able to pull this off? Then maybe as late as last week, I was like, hey, this is going. I feel good about it. And then as you mentioned, you know, with the cases rising around, maybe you're not 100% sure you can pull this off even at this stage. But it's interesting. Elliot, we've talked about this in comparison to the baseball or even NFL. The idea of the bubble that basketball and hockey are doing seems like it will make it easier to pull off than a baseball that is trying to do travel. And I guess when you're home, you can go home.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be the case in the NHL. I think that once this starts, you're not going to be able to go anywhere. I think I've heard the bubble's right. Going to be really tight. I think the bubble is going to be extremely tight. And I think that there was some pushback against that, guys, for a while. But now that we've seen what's kind of been going on the last week, I don't think people are pushing back against that anymore.
Yeah, I think it gives you a much better chance of executing this for sure. Elliot, let's ask about the Hall of Fame.
And I got to tell you guys too, like, I think that there are people in, whether they work for the league or the Players Association, who kind of want the players in the bubble because they think it gives them a better chance. I've talked to people who think that, you know, once they get guys into the bubble, they think they've got a real chance to make it work. Because the people will be isolated, they'll be with each other. I mean, your question is how many positive cases come with you. That's the thing you worry about. But they really believe if they can be in a situation where they can get people who are negative into the bubble, they're going to be okay. And now we'll wait and see.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's talk Hall of Fame for a minute here. Yep. It's interesting as the Predators have more and more history with each passing year. There's more guys that get to the Hall of Fame that have a history against the Predators. Two guys in particular certainly had big moments against them, Jagrome Iginla and Marian Hossa. I think we could all Predator fans have this nightmare. Marian Hossa comes out of the penalty box after taking a major penalty in that game five, in a game that, as Blackhawk fans look back, it's one of the more pivotal games in their recent history, right? They just started getting good again. Nashville had them beat on the power play up one in the final minute in game five. They win in Chicago. They would come home to Nashville up 3-2 in that first round of 2010. And we know what happened. Hossa you know, after Kane ties it with the shorthanded goal, Holsa comes out of the penalty box and wins it in overtime. Just a gut-wrenching loss for the Predators, but what a great player.
Oh, my goodness. He was a great player. Like, I know some people really freak out about Hall of Fame selections. I'm not one of those people. I mean, the world is, like, basically burning right now, and a bunch of people just had a great day to go to the Hall of Fame, and I'm happy for them. I got no problem with anybody who was selected. Hossa was a great player. Like, to me, like, it's like in life, guys. Like, there's some people who are leaders, and there's some people who are followers, and there's some people who are kind of in the middle, and that's all okay. Like, we can't have everybody being one of those things, or else things wouldn't work. But, like, I looked at Hossa as like the best B-plus player. Like, I don't think, like, I think if he was your number one guy, I just don't think he was built to be your number one guy in terms of personality. But if you had, like, one of those guys on your team and you had Hossa with him, holy cow, was he going to be dynamite. And you look at that Chicago team, like, we knew who the A guys were. They were Kane, and they were Taves, and they were Keith. And then you put Hossa as sort of like their cornerstone support, and he was going to thrive. And you just talked about it. Like, you saw it there up front. Those other guys could do the leading, and he could just be Marian Hossa. And Marian Hossa, when he was just being Marian Hossa, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, that is an interesting thought of how, just like we have all the time with baseball, how low do you drop the line? These are all great players, but where do you draw the line, Hall of Fame and not? Jerome Iginla, I guess there was pretty much no doubt with him, and his numbers alone against the Predators, even I remember when he got picked up by the L.A. Kings a couple of years ago, right at the end, he still was scoring big goals against the Predators wherever he went. But that guy, no question about it. And it's interesting, his career pretty much spans the existence of the Predators. As he was coming in, that's when the Predators came into the league. So we've watched him from the start.
And if someone sent out a tweet the other day, I didn't, like, see who it was, but they sent out a tweet, like, if you look at his time in Calgary, the number of games he played there and his stats, and who was second in terms of gameplay, goals, assists, and points, like, you needed a telescope to see the difference. He had some good players around there. They did go to one Stanley Cup final, but in terms of carrying the mail offensively, he was enormous. He was the franchise. And the other thing people up in Canada will always remember is that, and maybe people in the States too, you know, Canada's two victories for the gold over the U.S. in the Olympics, and both those gold medal games, he had huge games. He had two goals in 2002, and he, of course, had the assist on Sidney Crosby's winner in 2010. So I think, like, there's a lot of hockey fans up here. Maybe he didn't win a Stanley Cup, but on a huge stage, he was big time in two important games.
Boy, no question. That's bringing back bitter memories for the fans of Team USA. That's okay. You know, so also give us a little background on Kevin Lowe, because that's a guy that goes back a little bit before the Predators' existence. So maybe some of our younger listeners may not be familiar with him.
Well, if there was anybody yesterday who's named to the Hall of Fame got some negative publicity, it was probably Kevin Lowe. And I think that's really wrong, and I think it's really unfair. And people who say it against him say that, well, like, you know, he was the eighth best player on those great Oilers teams. Well, those Oilers teams won 5 Stanley Cups in 7 years. And the reason they did that was because, as my partner Jeff Merrick said, they had a traveling all-star team. And maybe he was their seventh or eighth best player, but that doesn't mean he also wasn't a Hall of Famer. The reason they won that much is because they had 7 or 8 Hall of Famers. I think he's the eighth one from that team. And, you know, he was a guy, he was talented. Like, people forget, like, he scored the first goal in Edmonton Oilers history. But, you know, there were so many other players getting all the numbers that he didn't have great numbers, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a great player. He was a good, he was a great defenseman, like, super competitive guy. Like, so later on after he retired, he coached the Oilers, and then he was their general manager and president. And when he coached, like, the guys who played for him told me that he took the losses 50 times harder than the players did. And there were some guys who really cared. Like, he was a really competitive guy, big part of their leadership group. He won another Stanley Cup, his sixth, as a member of the Rangers in 94. And there are guys who said that they don't win that cup without the effort that he had and what he did there. And he wasn't, he was more of a defensive defenseman because there were a lot of other offensive players, but he was a tremendously skilled guy, and he absolutely could not stand to lose. He absolutely hated losing, and that was big with him.
See, that's a really interesting case that had to be made, I'm sure, and it's probably like the NFL Hall of Fame when you're trying to, you know, quantify the value of an offensive guard or offensive tackle. Because, like with Kevin Lowe, he wasn't supposed to be scoring all the goals. They had all these guys scoring all those goals for that team. Six Stanley Cups speaks for itself for sure, but I'm sure with the lack of stats to back it up, especially back then, no analytics to speak of, how you tried to quantify just how great of a defensive defenseman he was beyond the intangibles that you're talking about.
Well, you know who we would probably, I could probably compare him a little bit to, and I don't know if they're exactly the same player, but more of the way they're perceived. Like, you guys have a guy there in Nashville in Ekholm, right? And so when you guys go to the Stanley Cup final, obviously PK gets a lot of attention. And obviously, Yossi gets a lot of attention. And when you add Suter and Weber there, they got a lot of attention. But there are all, and Ryan Ellis gets a lot of attention. But, you know, everybody knows what a great player Ekholm is. Maybe doesn't get a ton of points, but everybody knows how good he is and how, what an important role he plays. And if I was making a comparison to the Predators, that's the comparison I would make. He's probably similar to Ekholm in the sense that your smart fan and your Predators fan knows how important he is, but maybe around the league he doesn't get as much attention because you've got other names who get the exposure in Nashville as opposed to he does. When you've got, you know, Roman Yossi carrying the puck up the ice all the time, we're all looking at him instead of Ekholm.
It's a really good point. That's a good example. Leave us with this quickly. I saw your list for potential the next head coach for New Jersey. Who would you assess as the leading candidate, in your opinion, right now today?
Well, I think it's a tough one to answer, guys, because, like, so the guys they've interviewed were the current head coach, who's the interim guy, Alain Nasruddin, and the other names were John Stevens, who's an assistant in Dallas, Peter Laviolette, who you guys know really well, Gerard Gallant, who was in Vegas, and Lindy Ruff, who's now an assistant with the Rangers. And you know, Tom Fitzgerald, who's the current GM, he interviewed all those guys, and I think he was getting close to making a hire. But the other thing the Devils have been doing is they've been interviewing some people for the GM job. They haven't officially said that it's going to be, they haven't officially said that it's going to be Fitzgerald's job for good. So I think the other guys they've interviewed have said, you can't do that. You have to let us have a say on the new head coach. So I think that's on a bit of a stall. Okay. Now, if Fitzgerald becomes the GM, it's going to be one of those guys. But if Fitzgerald doesn't become the GM, I think all bets are off. But I think Laviolette's got a shot. Like, I think he legitimately has a shot to be the coach there.
Interesting. You just had Ryan Kesler on your podcast. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, let him know that Nashville still doesn't like him. Just,
you know, I asked him, if you and Ryan Johansson, like, is that over? Is that still going on? And Kesler, as only Kesler can do, and he's in a much better mood generally now, but he kind of sneered at me, and he goes, yeah, that's still not over.
Yeah, not surprised, not surprised. Always enjoy the visit. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys take care. Be great.
All right, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. No love loss between Ryan Kesler and anybody, including Ryan Johansson. Nothing's changed. Nothing. I'm glad his answer was that, because nothing's changed here. All right, we will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.